Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
The Lord willing, I'll be bringing another message in the series entitled, Ye Must Be Born Again. What an important subject to deal with. Jesus Christ said in John chapter number 3 and verse number 7 to Nicodemus, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been birthed into the family of God? Have you ever had that new birth experience? Have you ever had that beginning again? Thank God I got saved. I was born again. I was 19 years of age. I was in my bedroom alone and I got the new birth. I was birthed into the family of God. If you were born again, you were born again at a place and at a time. If you were born again, you had some basic Bible knowledge. A person must have an understanding of some basic Bible truths so that he can be born again. He must understand that he is a sinner. He must understand the basic gospel message so that he can be born again. The Holy Spirit must be at work for a person to come to Christ as Lord and Savior. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There must be the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Seed or the Holy Word of God for a person to be born again. In the book of John, chapter number 16 and verse 21, Jesus said, A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Jesus Christ used the natural birth to illustrate the spiritual birth, and I want to do the same thing. First of all, the travail and sorrow that precedes the natural birth. Jesus said, John 16:21, once again, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. And first of all, under that point, there is no spiritual birth without sorrow. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about their need to repent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 9, Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I understand that was written to a church, but repentance, the basic idea of repentance is the same. For the unbeliever to trust Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he must repent. And for the believer that is backslidden to get right with God, he must repent. There must be a turning from sin to the Lord. But the sinner may say, I really don't feel as though that I need to repent. I feel as though I'm doing fairly well. In the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai, there's a great illustration there. Haggai taught that if one was unclean by touching a dead body and touched things that could have been offered to God, then those things that could have been offered unto God would be unclean and therefore unqualified for an offering to God. The sinner might think, I have offered things to God and I have done things for God. Therefore, hasn't that earned me anything toward heaven? Every work, everything that the unsaved sinner offers to God is unclean and unacceptable to God. Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." In Proverbs 15 and verse number 8, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord." Proverbs 21 verse 4, "The plowing of the wicked is sin." Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Let me go back to that one passage. Proverbs 21 and verse number 4 says, "The plowing of the wicked is sin." Somebody might say, how could the plowing of the wicked be sin? The unsaved sinner has nothing, has no good work, has no gift to give God that has not been contaminated by sin. Cain got in trouble with God for offering to God what God did not want. God does not want the sinner's filthy rag righteousnesses, and God does not want his sin-tainted offerings brought by his unclean hands. The sinner has nothing, nothing good whereby to merit his way to heaven. God works to make sinners sorry for their sins. There is no spiritual birth without conviction. There is no spiritual birth without sorrow. Now, this is not just any sorrow. This is a sorrow that is caused by the working of the Holy Spirit. The sorrow of the world, according to the Scriptures, worketh death. Sometimes a person may be sorry. Sometimes society may make him sorry for his sin. Sometimes family might make him sorry for something that he's done. Sometimes he might be sorry for his sins and yet not turn to the Savior. He might turn away from particular sins without turning to the Savior. The world sometimes makes men sorry for particular sins, but the world offers them no Savior. Sometimes people might be so sorry for their sins that they commit suicide. The world does not offer them a Savior. The Holy Spirit makes men sorry for their sins and points them to the one and only all-sufficient Savior. Secondly, under this point, there is no salvation of a sinner without repentance. God causes sorrow in the sinner with a purpose. God wants sinners to turn from sins to Him. God wants sinners to turn from false religion. A portion of 1 Thessalonians 1:9 states, "How ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." God wants sinners to turn from sinful pleasures to Him. Many a time, a person has refused to come to Christ because he does not want to turn away from some sinful pleasure. The Bible says in the book of Mark in chapter number 9, beginning with verse number 43, and by the way, this is a very interesting passage. The Bible says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Sometimes a sinner might greatly enjoy some sinful pleasure that only lasts a season, but still, they are enjoying some sinful pleasure, and they do not want to turn from that sinful pleasure and trust Christ. There are two ways to stop one member of the body from participating in a particular sin. We might think about the hand being employed in a particular sin, or the foot being employed in a particular sin, or the eye being employed in a particular sin. If a person wanted to stop himself from using that particular member in a sin, then he could cut it off or pluck it out. But then if the sinner cut his hand off, he would still be a sinner. And if he cut his foot off, he would still be a sinner. And if he plucked his eye out, he would still be a sinner. In fact, if the sinner whittled himself down to just a stump of a sinner, he would still be a stump of an unsaved sinner if he never repented and trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. There's another way for a person to stop sinning with a particular member of his body, and that way is to repent. I do not believe that Jesus Christ wanted men to start cutting hands off and feet off and plucking eyes out in order to stop sin. I believe that this passage shows us the seriousness of hell, that a person would really be better off to cut a hand off or a foot off or pluck an eye out than to go to hell over some particular sin. I do not believe that it is the will of God for men to start amputating members to stop those members from sinning. But I do believe that God wants all men everywhere to repent. Number three, God wants sinners to turn from trusting in other things instead of trusting in God. In the book of Mark in chapter number 10, the Bible tells about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler needed to turn from trusting in his riches, and he needed to turn to trusting in Christ. God will not save the unsaved sinner that comes to him asking for salvation, but at the same time harboring a spirit of rebellion and refusing to turn from trusting in something or someone else for salvation. God wants men to turn and trust. Turn loose and trust God, and trust God alone for salvation. It is interesting that in chapter 10, before the account of the rich young ruler, the Lord told us about Jesus dealing with little children. In Mark chapter number 10 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Do you know the problem that the rich young ruler had? He would not come to God as a little child. He would not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Therefore, he did not get saved at that time. And then, there is no salvation of a sinner without repentance and belief. When one of those has occurred, it is evident that the other has occurred. There cannot be repentance unto salvation without saving faith. Repentance is to turn from sin. Belief is the end of that turn and resting in and trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. The old song has these words, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Turn to Jesus. Trust Jesus for salvation.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.